Finally, today, we're catching up with Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu, who's been vocal in the city's response to the coronavirus pandemic, as well as its current reckoning with racism and police brutality. Councilor Wu, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
So if you can believe it, we last spoke to you in February, which seems like eons ago.
Yes.
At that time, fears about the coronavirus were scarce and new. There were instances of xenophobia, anti-Asian American sentiment around the city. And now we are in a full-fledged pandemic, also reckoning with racism, especially anti-Black racism. What do you make of the arc of where we've come since we last spoke and the city's response to it all so far?
You know, I think the public, maybe I'll call it media conversation, has shifted, and we're certainly talking about issues in a different urgency and a different scale. But the reality is that it's the same underlying challenges and stresses and crises that we're needing to solve in this moment, as we needed to solve right when the pandemic started, as we needed to solve even long before COVID-19. And these are the crises in Boston and elsewhere of racial and economic inequality and of systemic oppression, ways in which our policies have not lined up with opportunity for all.
Councilor, we've heard people say so many times in the last few months that in fact, something about the pandemic exposed those fault lines. You said the same underlying challenges, that the pandemic brought them forward and exposed them. Why do you think that is? And what do we need to do as a result?
I think it was a confluence of being, you know, the virus when it hit is something that was sudden and unexpected and was supposed to affect everyone equally, right? That a person from any background was no more susceptible. And this is kind of the message that we've been talking about last with xenophobia, that folks from the place where the virus originated are no more likely to get it than anyone else from a different race, ethnic background, or any other facet of their identity. And yet, when we looked at the impacts, both health-wise, as well as economically, the devastation sits squarely on the shoulders of communities of color, particularly of Black residents and our Black and brown community. And it's because the underlying fragility of our support systems were never designed to truly support residents of color.
So we have launched phase three here in the Commonwealth, and I know, as you know, except Boston and Somerville, where that will launch at the beginning of next week. That means places like gyms, casinos, movie theaters are opening back up. And I want to ask you how you're feeling about that, whether you think the timing is feeling right, and do you think the city's numbers are headed in the right direction?
You know, I'm still incredibly frustrated that it feels that we are having to make a trade-off, and the move to reopen feels in some way compelled because businesses have been struggling for so long. Workers are barely able, you're not able to make ends meet. And so there's this rush to kind of get people to be able to put food on the table again. At the same time, it feels like we're taking a risk and giving up safety and health in doing so. In that choice, the either or, isn't something that we needed to be facing. If we had the resources and the planning and the infrastructure to do testing, universal testing, and to do contact tracing, we would know exactly where the virus was and therefore how to contain it. And it wouldn't be a risk to open up businesses again, because you could know which workers needed to stay home, which modes of transportation could be safe in what ways. So we're still falling short when it comes to providing the infrastructure for people to make those decisions as individuals, as businesses. And it's also in the protections for workers that it's not enough to say, okay, we've outlined how far apart you need to be when you're back at work and what practices you need to follow, but we're still not fully supporting you in making the financial decision for yourself, that if you feel sick or you think you've been exposed, you can stay home and not worry about having to give up pay and therefore not have food or potentially lose your job.
Councillor Wu, in listening to your answer, you know, at different points, you used the word frustration, I think it was. And at different points, it felt like you were pointing your frustration in different places. Some of what you're talking about, like testing capacity, relies on, or at least at the beginning, relied on federal policy. Some of what you're talking about sounds like it's state-level policy, and some of it could be local. So are you expressing specific dissatisfaction with some layer or level of government that you feel has failed to act? And if it's at the city level, where do you see the city council's responsibilities in moving us forward?
Yeah, I think there's always, and I accept as part of the government structure that there is always need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. I think in this case, certainly the failures of the federal government are well documented and ongoing, unfortunately. At the state level, I do believe we have set, that the governor and his administration have set far too low standards for what safety and testing should look like in Massachusetts, even in the sort of the most recent numbers when it comes to goals for testing and how many tests we're running a day. When you talk to the amazing world leading experts, public health experts right here in Boston and Massachusetts, people have done the numbers a bunch of different ways. And we are far, far below the level of testing that we would need, even in the goals that the governor has set for us to feel like we can truly say we're not making that trade-off between the economy and public health. And then at the city level,
what daily number would you like to see, Councillor Wu? What daily number would you like to see in our testing capacity? The governor set a goal for July, another one for December. I believe the December goal is at 75,000 tests a day. What number would you like to see?
Yeah, so if you talk to the public health experts, there's a couple different ways to cut the numbers. One is to look at the percentage of positive cases as a fraction of the total amount of testing you're doing. Another way is to think about how many tests you need to do to really make sure that all essential workers were tested repeatedly and that those most exposed to risk and the virus. And if you triangulate it a couple different ways, 100,000 tests per day in Massachusetts is really the recommended baseline. And so, as you said, we've had a ramp up in terms of the state's goals. It started very low. I think 45,000 is the current goal for capacity, and it'll ramp up to 75 by the end of the year. But that, even that, is short of the baseline that we should be aiming for today.
Councillor Wu, I'd like to shift gears because we have another pandemic that we're addressing, which is a pandemic of racism in our country. I want to ask you, how are you thinking about the questions that we're taking a look at in the city of Boston about where we need to go from here?
City government has a tremendous platform, and now is the moment in this outpouring of historic activism. Now is the moment for every city to take up the charge for structural change. And we're seeing examples of that across the country, rethinking our public safety and public health systems, taking on city budgets, thinking about zoning and city contracting and public schools, the systems that to this day are perpetuating inequities and that are fully within the realm of government and local government to control. We should be taking that head on. And in Boston, we're not quite there yet. I've shared my call to action more publicly about the observation that we can't get our way out of this. We won't come close to our potential in addressing systemic racism if we focus on fundraising and trying to offer grants here and there in the city.
Let's talk about that a little more. You have an op-ed in today's print Boston Globe that criticizes Mayor Walsh's creation of the Boston Racial Equity Fund, which is aimed at raising, as you said, raising money, tens of millions of dollars to address racial inequities in Boston. You write that it is, quote, a squandering of municipal power that will compete with a community-led effort created by Black and Brown business leaders, end quote, which is the new Commonwealth Racial Equity and Social Justice Fund, end quote. The focus on fundraising and grant making through the platform of municipal government comes at a steep price, forfeiting democratic accountability and obscuring the city's role in delivering structural change, end quote. What do you think is wrong with the approach of using a fund and raising money to make grants? What would you have thought would have been a better approach?
Boston is a very generous city, and there's a lot to celebrate when people come together and the business community steps up and donors want to open up their pockets and share their resources. There's an appropriate role for philanthropy, a very important one that should happen outside of city government. Because when the mayor of Boston and the municipal government infrastructure takes on the role of soliciting donations from donors and then deciding which organizations receive support in what amounts, it influences the entire political system that is meant to be most accountable and most transparent. And it also diffuses the pressure for structural change. So as I mentioned before,
There is a capacity for sort of sustained focus that a municipal government has. We talked to Emerson College President Lee Pelton, who's heading the steering committee for this fund. He says it's a first step in the right direction. Let's listen to him real quick.
This is tangible. It is real. And it can make a real difference. This is a step forward in the right direction. This is not something that we fix and then walk away from it. This is going to require a long-term sustained commitment.
So why not a both and, Councillor Wu?
Absolutely, we need more funding to address issues across the city and the same issues and solutions that residents have been lifting up far before the pandemic. But my problem is not with just the racial equity fund. It's with the idea that city government can be accomplishing our charge by serving as a gatekeeper for grants, whether it's the Boston Resiliency Fund or the Racial Equity Fund or other examples where you have city officials soliciting money from corporations and individuals who might have business before city government and then turning around and deciding how those dollars will be allocated. That is competing with the nonprofit sector, with foundations or philanthropy outside of government. And it's also distorting the political discourse. I know from our budget discussions just a few weeks ago that there are many organizations and people who reached out calling on councillors to support the budget who received funding from the Resiliency Fund, and some of them cited that they had been asked by the administration to reach out. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that any particular person or individual took it, you know, was quid pro quo or anything like that, but it does add pressure.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We actually are just out of time. The clock is unforgiving at the end of the show, but that is Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu. And I do want to thank you for giving us your time today. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tiziana.